Roanoke clapped her hefty paws together.
Righto, clear the food away. We've got a show to rehearse. Feldo, you look strong enough to be a good catcher.
Celandine fluttered her eyelashes.
Ooh, he could catch me any time of the season.
Roanoke gave her a glare, then ignored her.
Broome, sorry you can't sing on this job. Your voice is too recognisable. However, you would make rather a good frog maiden.
Me? A frog maiden?
Why, certainly, old lad. And I'll be your wicked Uncle Toad. Oh-ho, me proud beauty. You shall never marry that caterpillar.
Feldo shook his head in bewilderment as Buckler stuck a large red ball on the tip of his nose.
It sounds just crazy enough to work.
Chapter 13.
It was still early morning, and already Martin was feeling tired. He and his friends had been roused several times that night by the familiar squidgy cry, "Glug a drink." It seemed that every baby pygmy shrew woke at least twice nightly wanting a drink. Rose hauled a log away from the noisy breakfast table. She was spattered with food and drink.
"Good morning, Martin. You'll never guess what's planned for the morning after breakfast is through."
"Don't tell me. I don't want to know."
Rose told him anyway, stifling a smile as she did.
"We're taking all the squidgies down to the beach for a paddle in the rock pools. Evidently, the whole tribe go down there every day to check on their fishing nets. If it's good weather like today, the little fiends are brought along to amuse themselves."
"Oh, how nice. It will be fun."
Martin put on his fixed smile. Grum and Palom had their paws full, wiping off sticky baby whiskers.
"Come, Urim, horrible little toad. Thy whiskering be full of oatmeal."
The squidgies dodged about, chanting ceaselessly.
"Wanna go shore-shore? Wanna go shore-shore?"
Descent to the shore from the high cliffs was not as difficult as it first looked. There was a hidden stairway cunningly carved into the rock by the pygmy shrews. Martin and his companions had to make the trip several times. Watched by Ambala and her ever-vigilant shrews, the four friends had to carry each squidgie piggyback fashion down to the sand. When all the shrews were attending their nets, the queen turned to Palom.
"Squidgies, play now. You watch plenty good."
She shook a sword at them in warning before seating herself comfortably where she could keep an eye on everything. The queen's infant son, Dinger, was trouble on wheels. The other squidgies were relatively calm and happy, burying Grum up to his neck in the sand. Martin, Rose and Palom were building a sandcastle for some others. Palom pointed to Grum.
"That was what I always hated. When they decided to bury me, Grum seems to be enjoying it."
The mole pulled loose a digging paw and waved to them.
"Burr aye. 'Tis nice and cool on a hot morn like this."
"Still, Grum, stay still."
Several squidgies started draping wet seaweed on the mole's head. Martin looked about for Dinger. Rose spotted him.
"There he is, the little blackguard. Look, climbing."
Dinger had strayed from the rest and taken a notion to scale the cliff face. The section he chose was slippy and steep, with sharp crags sticking out above it. Martin's patience snapped. He leaped up, pointing at the miscreant.
"Get down from there, you stupid little beast, or you'll fall!"
The queen heard him. Angrily, she threw a rock, catching Martin sharply on his unprotected back.
"Bigger mouth! Bigger mouth! Not talk, Balamson, like that! Bad talk! Balamon kill slay bigger mouth!"
Martin was about to make some reply when there was a loud screech.
"Yeah!"
A great gannet had swooped down and snatched Dinger from the rocks. The infant pygmy shrew was carried high into the air, held by his tail and the hem of his loose robe in the lethal amber beak of the predator. He wriggled and squealed like a midget piglet. Immediately, all activity on the shore ceased as Ambala's wails rent the air.
"I remember that when I was younger,"
Palom whispered to Rose.
"Dinger's father was taken by a big gannet like that one. Poor little bite, he's as good as dead now."
And Bala had slid down from her seat on the rocks. She covered her eyes and wept inconsolably.
"No more Dinger people! Him gone! Dead now!"
Martin grabbed her by the paws, pulling her upright.
"Not dead, Balamum! Dinger not dead! Bigger Mouse, save him!"
Seizing the queen's sword, which was no more than a dagger in his paw, Martin bowled the nearest two pygmy shrews over and snatched their fishing net. Dashing off along the shore after the gannet, he called back to his friends.
"Get more nets and follow me! Hurry!"
The gannet soared upwards, wheeled and dropped down onto a high ledge in an isolated part of the cliffs. Dingy was stunned by the landing. The infant lay limp between the big bird's well-clawed and webbed feet. There was a large untidy nest on the ledge with two scrawny half-feathered gannet chicks in it. On seeing their mother, they set up a cackle. As he ran, Martin watched the bird descend and alight on the high ledge. Without pausing, he ran to the cliff face directly below it. Pausing only to grip the sword blade in his teeth, he hurled the fishing net upwards. The meshes caught on the rocks. Giving a quick tug to check its firmness, Martin began climbing, pulling himself up paw over paw on the tough kelp net. When he reached where the net had caught, he disentangled it. Whirling it around his head, he hailed it aloft, catching another rocky crag. Again, he began hauling himself up over the meshes. Below on the beach, the whole of the high beast pygmy shrew tribe had gathered. They watched as Martin continued his ascent. Rose began spreading the other nets on the sand, lashing four of them together. The pygmy shrews were getting in her way, ignoring her as they trampled the nets and gazed up. Rose, Palom and Grum bulled into them, pushing them backwards.
Get out of the way! Can't you see we're trying to help him?
One of the high beasts kicked out at Rose.
Jigger Mouse! No talk of me like that!
And Bala bit him savagely on the neck and knocked him down.
Get away! Quick now! Like Mouse say, all of you!
Piercing cry came from Dinger as he woke and saw his predicament. Martin heard the cry and redoubled his efforts. Throwing the net upwards and scrambling over it, he chanced a quick look up. Only about three more lengths to go. Dingy's tear-stained face appeared over the rim of the ledge.
Help us, Dingy!
He was dragged back by the formidable beak of the gannet. The huge bird tossed him against the side of the nest. Dingy curled up tight as the two hungry chicks tried to crane their floppy necks over the edge of the nest to get at him. Below on the shore, Ambala hid her face in horror of what might happen to her little son. Rose put a comforting paw around the Queen's shoulders.
No cry, Balamum. Bigger Mouse Martin is mighty warrior. He'll get your Dinger back. You see, you see.
Ambala seemed to understand Rose. She clung to the Mouse Maid as she anxiously watched the high ledge. Breathing raggedly with exertion, Martin pulled himself up onto the ledge, hauling the net up after him. Dinger saw him and jumped up, yelling,
Bigger Mouse! Martin Mouse! Save me!
The gannet turned its bright, dangerous eyes on Martin as he took the sword from his mouth.
Dinger, no make no noise! Be still! Still!
The gannet took a stalking stride towards Martin, lowering its lethal yellow beak. The young mouse swung with the little sword. It clacked harmlessly off the great bird's beak, but caused the gannet to stop where it was. Now Martin shook the net out and swished it at the bird's feet. It took a step back. Behind him he could hear Dinger sobbing with terror. Working his way across the ledge, jabbing with the sword and sweeping with the net, Martin gradually got himself into a position where he was between the gannet and its nest. Sensing danger to its chicks, the gannet began spreading its wings, lowering its neck and opening its beak wide as it hissed at the intruder. Martin knew there was not much time. He was getting ready to attack. He would have to act quickly. Throwing back his head, he shouted aloud into the gannet's face, hoping that he could be heard below on the beach.
Stretch the net! Hold them up, lots of you! Be ready!
Rose heard him. She had thought of giving her eagle call, but if Martin or Dinger were in the nest, they would be crushed under the gannet, which would naturally sit on its nest to defend the chicks against anything. Grasping a corner of the net, Rose held it high, yelling aloud,
Hold up, net! Stretch it tight, now!
The high beast tribe stood uncertainly for a moment, until a harsh order from Ambala, their queen, sent them scurrying to the edges of the net, with Rose, Palom, Grum and Ambala at each corner. The queen snapped out directions.
Hold the net up! Stretch it tight now!
The net was ready, up and tight stretched. Martin reached back with his footpaw, keeping a wary eye on the gannet as he kicked Dinger lightly.
Move now, Dinger! Get over to the edge!
Dinger began crawling on all fours. The gannet, sensing it was being robbed of its prey, tried to pass Martin to get at Dinger. Martin jabbed with the sword. This time he nipped the bird in its open mouth. It retaliated with lightning swiftness, pecking him sharply in the side. Martin drew his breath in short at the pain. He clamped his paw over the spot, feeling warm, damp blood. Dinger was now at the edge of the cliff, peering over at the dizzy drop down to the shore.
Jump, Dinger, jump!
No jump, no jump, Ginger afraid.
There was nothing else for it. Martin turned swiftly and gave the baby pygmy shrew a hefty kick on the bottom that sent him flying outwards over the edge. Whoomp! Dingy bounced up and down in the centre of the net. Saved. The gannet gave a shrill squawk and attacked Martin. Leaping to one side, he whirled the net and threw it straight over the bird's head. The kelp fishing net enveloped the gannet's head and one wing and draped on the ground, trapping one of its webbed feet. Martin fell to one side, dragging at the net. The bird's head came awkwardly askew, and it tried to pull its leg free. Martin kicked out at its other leg, sending the gannet crashing on its side, loosely trapped in the net. The young mouse leapt up, his chest heaving. The net would not hold the big seabird for long, and he did not wish to kill it. The two chicks were squawking raucously in the nest. Turning to the fallen mother bird, Martin loosed off the net. Then he ran for the edge, shouting aloud,
"One for the net coming down!"
He leaped into the blue summer morning, up and out. Momentarily, he was robbed of breath as the wind whistled past his ears. Spread-eagled, with all limbs flailing, he dropped like a stone, plummeting down into the net. Whoomph! A mighty cheer rose up from every beast on the shore. Rose, Palam and Grum hurried to help Martin from the net. The mousemaid tore a strip from her smock.
"You're hurt. Let me see. Oh, thank goodness, it's not serious."
Martin let her bandage his side, and Bala came over, smiling through her tears. Martin offered her sword back, but she refused.
"Martin Mouse! Warrior Mouse! Great, brave, save my Dingy babe! Balam, Mum, say this. What I want? Anything for you?"
Palam nudged Martin as he whispered,
"She's just offered you anything you want for saving Dingy. I've never heard the Queen do a thing like that before."
A silence fell over the assembled high beasts. Martin lifted the sword and with two swift strokes freed Rose of a hobbling log. Striding purposefully over to Palam and Grum, he slashed through the kelps that bound them to the logs. Palam could not remember being without the great log impeding his footpaws. He held the broken kelp ends and wept silently. Martin faced the Queen of the Pygmy Shrews eye to eye.
"We want free!"
The silence on the shore intensified as Ambala drew herself up regally, her fierce little eyes burning into Martin's.
"Balamum, see this! You go, all free!"
The ranks of the high beast tribe parted to let the four friends pass through. They walked in silence, holding the slashed kelp ends, lest they tripped. Suddenly, Dingy ran out in front of Martin, swinging a stick. He struck the young mouse hard as he could. Martin winced as he took the blow full across the face. Dingy was in a foul temper, striking and screaming as his tantrum grew.
"Bigger mouse, kick at me! Kill, slay, bigger mouse! He kick at me, Dingy!"
Instantly, Ambala was between the two. She grabbed Dingy, snapped the stick, and threw it away. Then, seizing her son by his tail, she began spanking him hard with her free paw.
"Martin mouse, right there, you stupid little beast!"
The loud cheers of the pygmy shrews, coupled with Dingy's anguished wails, cut through the sunlit morning as the four friends strolled free along the beach, away from pygmy shrews and captivity.